and the internet buzzing about some story about Ray at the World Juniors. I have not heard it. That. I have not seen it, so I don't know what the details are, but
yeah,
I guess he got up to something or made an ass of himself somehow.
No, I know the story. We got to just get it out of him. But yeah, it's not good. It's one of those. It's a blooper, and I think it's happened to all of us at some point in our lives accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, with camera phones, and maybe if you're in a hotel in the hallway, there's cameras in the hallways now.
I had to walk all the way down a hallway with no gear on because I was in a different room. My room was on a different hall or a different floor. In the elevator, no gear, up the elevator, and then it's like knock on the room. My roommate wouldn't wake up, so then it's back down. I'm walking around the hotel room, no gear.
Yeah,
and there's a wedding party, and it's
That's not good for anybody. And that was before cameras were everywhere, so you're probably good on that.
Thank God.
Yeah. You do that today, your TMZ's got that tape within 10 minutes.
For sure.
Yeah. 10 minutes.
For sure. Yeah.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. So what is this story? I continue to see it plugged online. I think you guys talked about it on the Ray and Dregs podcast. What did you do out there? What happened?
Okay, well, hang on. First off, Happy New Year. Secondly,
Happy New Year.
Listen to the podcast, you knucklehead.
Listen, man, I'm homeschooling here. I'm trying to survive.
Oh, all right. How's that going?
Not good. They just expanded it another 2 weeks, which is going to be 2 months. We're freaking out at our house, like freaking out. It's a gong show. It's not.
I'll tell you one thing. April and May and June of last year, Riley and Reese Ferraro learned nothing from their teachers. That was me and Cammy.
Cammy and Ray Ferraro. That's pretty much what's happening around here. It's a scramble.
It's an awful parenting move, but like, just tell them to piss on it and get ready for next year. Like, that's my move. Like, just
that's your move.
Oh, I don't want to say officially that's what we said, but when they came in and they're like, hey, can we take a break? And Cammy and I are like, whatever. Just take a longer break. Go outside. It's nice. Go do something.
Yeah, there's your iPad. Go ahead.
Yeah, go scramble. Go do something.
That's the problem. That was what my kid was trying to negotiate the other day. She goes, I don't want to go to class. I just want to stay on my iPad. Like, we're not doing that. Like, you can't avoid screen time by filling it with screen time. Like, it wasn't a possibility. It will be in 2 weeks.
Next week, you'll be like, do whatever you want.
That's what I'm thinking. In a couple of weeks, you'll be like, I don't know. Let's just try to survive here. It's tough.
Okay, so this is what happened. I had an exercise bike for the 3 weeks in my room. Okay?
Yeah.
So we had to return it by 9:30, like had to have it out in the hallway 9:30 on gold medal day. So Landon calls from Germany at 6 in the morning. So I'm talking to him, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go back to sleep after I hang up for like 45 minutes. I'm going to hang up and go back to sleep. Well, 10 minutes later, I'm like, man, I can't sleep, and I got the games, and I'm thinking, and I'm like, okay, before I do fall back to sleep because I'm exhausted, I better put that damn bike out in the hallway. So Noodles is from Alberta, so he knows how dry it is, the winter air there. So my sinuses are killing me every day for 3 weeks. So what I'd do is I'd get up in the morning, turn the shower on as hot as I can go, or as hot as it would go, and I'd let it steam up. And then I'd stand in there for 10 minutes, and then I'd feel much better. So I go do that. I jump out of bed, get out of bed. I didn't jump out. I get out of bed, turn the water on, steam's going, and I'm like, oh, I better put that damn bike out in the hallway. So I wheel the bike over to the door. I get it open. I'm holding it open with my foot, and I turn it right because you can't just push it straight out in the hallway. So I turn it right, and then it sounded like a cymbal clashing, the click of the door.
Oh.
So I turn around, and I go, and I'm looking at the door. Now, I got no gear on.
Like not even a towel?
No, nothing. I just pushed the bike out.
Oh, no.
So I'm standing there, and I push it out, and no, but not at first, Hayes. I look at the door, and I'm like, now how the hell am I going to get in there?
Yeah.
Like, just like that. I'm like, how am I going to get in there?
Right, we'll figure it out.
Should have just started riding the bike.
That would have been outstanding.
Just somebody comes around the corner, and you are at Tour de France mode.
Yeah, hey, just think, somebody could have said, what are you doing? What's it look like I'm doing? I'm riding a bike.
That's your problem. Leave me alone.
So I look down the hallway, and there's on the table by the elevator, there's the house phone. I'm like, oh, I got to get down there. So you know, cover up with my hands and walk down the hallway and pick up the phone. And because nobody's there, the house phone doesn't work. Like, nobody's been in the hotel for months.
Right, of course.
Oh, yeah.
So phone
you're screwed now. You're screwed.
Now I'm in the soup now. So I go, okay, Craig Button, he's right next door, like to the elevator. So I knock on the door, and I can hear him talking, and I'm like, oh man, he's on the radio.
Oh,
I can hear him talking about Canada's defense and all that stuff. Right? And so, for some reason, I walk back down to my room. And I'm looking around my room. I don't know what I'm looking for. Like, it's not like there's an extra key sitting out there. So then I'm like, okay, he's got to be off the radio now. So I walk back down there, and I can hear him. Oh, I think it's going to be a great game. And all I can think of is, Craig, shut up. Get off the phone.
Right.
I need your help. So then I go, now I got to go look down. I'm like, okay, the service elevator. So I walk down to the service elevator. Like, you know, you open the door. I go in there. And I can see the elevators and these shelves that should be full of towels and sheets for the housekeeping, but it's empty because nobody's in the hotel.
No one's been there for 9 months.
Oh, no.
Why aren't you bashing Craig Button's door down?
At that point, you have to. Forget
yes.
Landsberg, Coley.
Okay, hang on, guys. I'm knocking on the door. I'm knocking on the door.
But
like
he's so into the interview, he's not paying attention or he can't hear.
He tells me later. He could hear, but he's like, you know, I don't know what's going on. And I
No, I am know, smashing I, on that door until he comes to the door. Give me a towel.
Okay, but here came the savior right here, Aldo. So I look, there's nothing on the shelves except two bath mats that somehow have been forgotten there. I can't tell you how long they've been there, but at that moment I don't care if they've been there for 23 years.
Right.
And so I get the little bath mat, you know, of course, which doesn't get all the way around, but you're like, yeah, damn, good enough, close enough. So I go back down there, Craig's off the phone. So I knock on the door again. He opens the door. He's like, what do you want? You know, like, he's just like, he's so curious. He's like, what are you doing here? You got no shirt on. And I go, I locked myself out of my room. He's like, oh, okay. So he doesn't really notice. And so I go in. I get on the phone. I call down, hey, Ferraro, here's my room. Can I get a key? Yeah, no problem. We'll be up. And as I hang up, Craig goes, why do you have a bath mat around your waist? And so I realize I haven't told him. So I tell him the story. Guys, I've never seen Craig laugh so hard.
Oh.
He had both hands on his knees, bent over, and he's just dying. He can't.
It would be such a shock to the system to see you at like 7 in the morning knocking on the door with a bath mat on and just trying to compute what the hell you've been doing with yourself.
Well, yeah.
Like, what have you been doing? And then your mind would be racing. You're like, do you do this on a daily basis? Do you write
it
like,
that's
the
thing, Hayes. If you're the guy on the other side, if you're Button, some people take a peek through the little hole in the door, and if you see one of your colleagues geared down, you're like, this guy, I'm not dealing with this guy right now.
I'm not doing it. No, I'm not answering.
This is somebody else's problem. It's not mine. As soon as I open the door, it's now my problem.
Well, you'll never be in that position again, I hope. I mean, I guess
no,
the Peloton
I was worried the guy was going to ask me for ID.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And
which
I'm like,
you probably
where
should.
Do you think I would store that?
No kidding. What was he thinking when he got up there? Like, did Craig let you borrow a pair of pants or something?
Oh, that's the other part. So Craig said, hey, grab the towel out of the bathroom. So I grab a towel out there. I throw the mat on the floor. Later in the day, you know, I'm back in my room. I'm doing my prep. I go to the game. Craig's put the bath mat right in front of my door.
Outstanding. As he should. That's a team player right there.
He picked it up with a pair of tongs and walked it over to you.
Right.
Yeah, I can't imagine he picked that thing up with confidence, for sure.
No, I wouldn't either. That's outstanding. Well, I want to hear it because I can imagine Dreg's just grilling you throughout the whole process. So is the podcast out today? Is it out
later? Podcast is out. Yeah, it's out now. And so I told him when it happened, I said, hey, I got a story for you. I'm not telling you. I want you to react to it. So he had no idea when I started telling the story what it was going to be about. And so I wanted him to be like,
that's
reacting.
I was banking on today, because I've seen Dregs and you guys tweet about it. I'm like, I haven't been able to hear it. And yeah. I kind of had an idea because I saw a couple of tweets. I'm like, all right, I think I know this guy got up to no good, no clothes at the hotel.
Tough.
That is what a way to start your – and you're a Canadian, and then the Canada loses the gold. So that's a pretty tough day, I would say, for you.
Yeah, it as my mom always used to say, all's well that ends well. And I guess it kind of ended well. But, man, for the 5 or 7 minutes that I was out there
– panic.
I'm like – this is really stupid.
Right. And a well-known guy. And you've been there for 3 weeks. Like, you're on a first-name basis probably with people. And it's like, who's coming up here? Who's going to spot me? Like, well, when is that elevator
going to ding? The other thing, too, guys, the other thing is, you know, the only person I could think of that would have been awake on that floor at that time was the quizmaster.
He would have been up.
He's probably emailed you 35 times and worried about or wondering why you haven't emailed him back.
Right.
Yeah, well, he had questions on the memo or on the missive. You guys know the missive, it just can't stop.
No. Oh, yeah. What's that like, the World Junior missive, where you got multiple games in a day? There's so much action.
It's a phone book.
It must be
crazy. It's that thick, for sure.
Yeah, trying to stay informed during the tournament.
Like, I can't imagine the amount of pencils he brought there. Like, it had to be in the dozens.
Crazy.
A suitcase full.
Oh, he thrives off that, too. He's so, like, he offers up a ton of info. And like, I've been doing the Trade Center stuff with you guys for a couple of years. He'll hand me the book. I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with this? You know, like it's Duffy stuff, Geno stuff. I'm like, where's my page?
He does an amazing job. And he's so meticulous. But I spoke with him today. We were going over some stuff because it's, you know, he
what's
everything's
the hot
in advance.
Well, I'm now like, the NHL's around the corner, right? Like, it's the tournament is just a whirlwind. And
right.
Now I'm sure you're experiencing this too, right? You snap out of it, you're back in Vancouver. You're like, wow, the NHL starts in like 5 days.
Well, we were talking, and I had this moment of, I don't know where a bunch of players play, right? So Gordon and I were talking, and somehow we came to, you know, gee, Colorado's going to be good, and Brandon saw it, and we're like, how did he get there?
Yeah.
Then it took us like a while because we were brainstorming. We didn't want to just, you know, Googleize it. And I don't know how quickly we got it, like not very quick, that he got traded for Zadorov.
Yeah.
Like we didn't get it. We were like, I don't know. And there's got to be a dozen of those guys. I'm going through all the lines reports, and I'm like, wonder how that guy got there. And then you got to go dig it up, because we're going to start
in the next week,
right?
It's wild.
Isn't that, don't they have a game on, is it the TNT with Barkley? Isn't it, where's this guy play or something like that?
It's something along those lines where they just grill him. They're like, where does this guy play who's moved around 15 times in the last 3 years?
But you could do that right now because I've been fishing through, obviously more focus on the Canadian teams, but Mark Borowiecki's in Nashville. You forget,
we went over
right?
that a couple of weeks ago. I totally forgot. I thought he was still a free agent. Like, it popped into my mind. I saw something about him. I'm like, well, when's he going to sign? And I looked it up, and I'm like, oh, he's in Nashville. I totally forgot about that.
But that's – there's 10 – for me, there's about 10 guys. Ray, I'm not sure how many you're at, but there was 10 guys where I was like, where is this guy? Like, I had to kind of dig in. And goalies have had the musical chairs, too. Like, Lundqvist is out. Craig Anderson is in Washington on a PTO. Like, I'm fishing around. We had a goalie chat, Hayes, yesterday about, you know, if Colorado's going to look for an upgrade. And I kept thinking, well, you know, who would be a nice upgrade for Colorado at the deadline that has some experience, been a starter? And then I was like, well, maybe it's Devan Dubnyk. Oh, Dubnyk's in San Jose.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Right?
I would totally have forgotten that.
But Noodles, I can even, not to one-up you there, but
no.
We're talking about Colorado's goaltending, and I'm like, as I'm talking about it, I'm like, now, who plays there? Is that Varlamov or Grubauer?
Yeah, it's Grubauer.
Like, I was totally, it's Grubauer, but I was totally confused for a minute, and I'm like, well, I guess they can't upgrade with Grubauer because he's already there. You know, like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And I got to go to school here. I got to catch up.
No, you're not alone, man. You're because it's been almost a year. It's been over 10 months since they shut it down.
Right.
And within that 10 months, yes, they played and they were in a bubble, but that was the weirdest viewing experience where No one could be there. No one could be in the building. They were playing almost too much. They were playing four or five games a day. There was other stuff going on. Obviously, real life was still lurking in the background with COVID and shutdowns and all that kind of stuff. And then the free agency's in October or whatever. Like, it's been really an off-putting, strange experience for 10 months to the point where you forget. And I've forgotten a lot.
And you said, Hayes, like certain teams, like how many games have the Leafs played in the last 10 months?
Five games in 10 months.
Right.
Five games in 10 months.
We know that roster, but can you imagine, like, San Jose hasn't played any. Like, there's seven teams that haven't played. Like, I forgot today. Like, Eric Staal is in Buffalo.
Mm.
Like, you know, we're not going to focus as much.
He's sporting noodles?
I did.
There's a lot of that going on around the league.
Yeah, but it's really neat. I'm fired up to see it. I think the focus will be on taxi squads too. Like, you're going to forget that a team has, oh, that player's there. We just haven't seen him yet. I know in Toronto we're going to be talking about guys like Dermott and maybe Robertson. You know, who's going to get into the lineup more consistently between those two if they don't start on opening night? But throughout Canada, there's going to be players like that. Like, I don't think Frolik and Perry will start opening night for
Montreal. Yeah, it doesn't seem that way.
But that's there's players like that everywhere that we've got to have to dig into their rosters.
Yeah, the only saving grace I think I have for this, when I think of it, Noodles, is at least the guys that are coming in, I know who they are. For 3 weeks here, they're like, oh, would you look at that? Who's Nadinov's move from this line, and he's flipped with Spiridonov, and I'm like, oh man, they're killing me here.
That's a tough one to register. Yeah, that one's tough to sink in. we were talking about, I guess today, Sheldon Keefe announced that Austin Matthews might get some penalty kill time, and we're just trying to wrap our heads around what that means, what kind of message is being sent. It's a very different tone from Keefe. We had him on Monday, Ray, and he bag skated them day one. First 20 minutes of skate on Monday was a bag skate. And he's very different tone with us, right, Noodles? Like, he was pretty open and honest, and he was
shot
really
from the hip.
Forceful. Yeah.
Yeah,
he's like, listen, you know, I had to play a different role when I first got here because they were a different team when I took over for Babcock, but this is what I've always wanted. It's accountability. It's this, that, and the other. And I wonder how Matthews plays into that. Essentially, you know, this might not be your comfort zone, but you're our top dog, and if this is going to help us win, you've got to do it. And I think he'll embrace the role.
I think he'd love it.
Yeah, me too.
I think he'd love it. More ice? Who, you know, who wouldn't want that? And the thing is, it's not like let's be honest here. It's not like he's going to be sliding around blocking shots, right? He's going to block shots or he's going to penalty kill like top players penalty kill with his anticipation. He's going to deflect passes, and when there's a chance, he's going to run up the middle of the ice, and they're going to try and hit him with a long one. Like, why not? So when I see this, I think that's kind of the way the game is going. The complicating factor, of course, is going to be that the games are going to be so bunched up. Like, how many minutes can he really take? You know, can he take an extra 90 seconds or 2 minutes? Because that's generally pretty hard work minutes. Like, can he take that? You know, could he? If the Leafs are shorthanded five times, that's 10 minutes. Could he take 2 minutes of that or 2.5 minutes of that? And that'll all be out of Keith's feel for the game and what his legs are like that day and what the schedule's like in the next, I don't know, three or four games in the future. Like, it's all going to be pretty interesting to see how it happens. But when I saw that, I was like, that makes sense. You know, like, why not have your best guy on the ice?
I don't disagree with that. I mean, Hayes and I were talking about, O's just having some technical difficulties, but we were talking about it just before you came on. Like, a lot of things should cater around top players. We see it on other teams. We see it in Edmonton. You see it in Washington. We were talking about their setup. Like, why can't it be in Toronto? You know, what's best for Austin Matthews? What's best for John Tavares and Mitch Marner? My only, I guess, concern was McDavid got hit in the ankle 2 years ago on, you know, killing a penalty by accident because he wasn't blocking the shot. He just happened to be in the lane. And I guess you can't bubble wrap players, but there is always that, you know, outside chance that you get hit with a one-timer, you get hit with something, you know, where you have to be in good position on the penalty kill. You're not worried about that, right?
Yeah, not.
Not as much?
Well, I guess not as much, but because I guess you try to be careful with it, but you're right. Like, sometimes you're just going to get clunked with one, and it's going to hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just have to, I guess you have to weigh the risk of that, because you can't always be not in the way. And you're going to have to weigh the risk of that to the benefit of it. But, McDavid took one in the foot. You're right. But, for years, guys around the league, the top guys, we never think about the defensemen. The top D are out there all the time.
Right.
Kill penalties.
Yeah, you're not. And I would say exactly.
They're in more danger because they're in the, not only to block shots, but they're in the traffic. They're in the, that mess most times in front of the net. And that's probably, there's probably a greater chance of being hurt there than a forward. I'll tell you one thing. If I was killing penalties, there'd be no danger of that.
Well, exactly. And I would assume that will be the messaging to Matthews. Go out there, win a draw, be instinctive and do your thing. But if Shea Weber's winding up, get the hell out of the way.
Yeah.
And make sure you stay out of the way.
So don't I kind of picture it, guys, like maybe that, if he's fresh, like, he's not been on the ice, maybe he takes that first face off, they win it, they get it, they clear it down the ice, and then he's out for the last 20 seconds or 25 seconds.
Yeah, that's what
a power play.
Yeah,
like
sure.
Just another way to keep them in the game. And, that last 30 seconds, you might get out there, you probably will, against their second power play group. It's not as good as the first one, of course. What if you get a bobble, a puck bounces over a guy's stick, and they're at the end of the power play? Now you got maybe a place you could take advantage of it.
Well,
that's the guy you want too.
It's a great point. I know we got to go, but here's another thing. Say you get into penalty trouble in past years. Say you get three penalties in a row. That's your best player sitting on the bench.
That would
now
happen,
all of a sudden,
right?
With Babcock, right.
It would happen. He'd just sit there.
Exactly. So now it takes him one shift to get the legs and the mind going back into it. Like, if you are on the penalty kill in some fashion or in the rotation, you're immediately still in the game. And that's one thing in having top players kill penalties is they don't lose their rhythm. Where we have seen, I don't say, it's unfair to say Austin loses rhythm, but if you're sitting there for 6 minutes because you get three consecutive penalties, and that's happened, it's happened in games.
Well, not only do you lose your rhythm, Noodles, but you start to get frustrated.
Right.
You're like, and then you get out there and you don't feel great, and you're kind of pissed that the guys have been taking penalties, and you've been sitting there, and you end up getting, we all know when you sit there and got nothing to do, you get in your own head, too.
Yeah,
and that's
right.
If you can even spark them with a 30 seconds here and 40 seconds there, it might go a long way for you.
I think that's got to be the plan, and we'll see where it's going to start next Wednesday night. All right, buddy, good to have you back on, and good to know you didn't get arrested or anything in Edmonton. That's a positive.
I'll tell you, if you can get arrested in a bubble, you're really going some.
That would have been actually worth the story if there was an arrest in a bubble.
Oh.
It'd be a first time ever. No one's ever
awesome.
Done that in the history of the world.
Awesome. Yeah.
I thought of this when the NHL guys were in the bubble. I'm like, it kind of looks like a minimum security prison. And that's what it felt like. Like, I could have jumped the fence, but then I was gone.
Then
right?
you're in trouble. You're never getting back in.
You're never getting back in. Mm-hmm. So I kind of felt like, hey, we're kind of in jail here. You couldn't get out of the fence until some guy undid the lock and opened it for you.
That's wild. That's a wild experience.
And I can also see, honestly, guys, I can also see how difficult it was for, A, the players, who they kept going back into quarantine, but for the NHL guys to, that went all the way, that were there for 3 months. Like, I don't think I quite understood the challenges of that. And it was, look, I'm not complaining, but man, that was a challenge.
It was absolutely, yeah. And you were there for 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks, which is a big commitment.
Yeah.
The Lightning and the Stars were there for over 2 months.
Wow.
And Dallas never moved. Like, Dallas just stayed in Edmonton the whole time. Tampa was in Toronto, went to Edmonton. I guess it was a change of pace to an extent.
Well, and different scenarios, right? Like, Toronto's bubble apparently was a lot different. It had a lot of different things going on than Edmonton's.
Somebody told
bubble.
Me that Toronto guys, they were able to go down towards the CNE. Some guys were out windsurfing. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, well, that's kind of nice.
That wouldn't have been bad. Yeah, I think they were mixing
my big
golf.
Walk was down to the lobby to get my temperature checked.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That was it. That was kind of like a highlight. I didn't want to do it too early, so I'd take all the fun out of the day.
No, you got to have something to look forward to, right? That's exactly it. You're a game planner. You got to have it.
That was it.
All right, man. Well, good stuff. Good to have you back. Great stuff at the World Juniors.
And thank you. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Hayes, go pass the knowledge along, would you?
That's my plan. That's what I intend on doing.
Oh,
I
your poor kids.
It.
Poor kids.
Professor Hayes. They love me. They love my routine. Believe me. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you guys.
See ya.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Their showroom remains open by appointment only. Or you can shop and buy online at MapleToyota.com to receive rates from 0%. Yeah, the schools will remain virtual learning for the next 2 weeks in Southern Ontario. And I don't think that's going to apply up north, but Southern Ontario for another couple of weeks. And quite frankly, I just... Because I've been down this road, I remember I was naive enough back in March to think, 2 weeks, we'll just get back to normal.
That's 2 months. Yeah,
I'm not convinced they're going back in 2 weeks at all. I'm just jaded, and wouldn't be shocked if it's March break before they go back.
You're just realistic, and we've been down this road. I think it's 2 months minimum, but we're going to have to settle in and hunker down. We'll figure it out, but, we are going to have stuff to talk about. You can get your kids into hockey.
That's right.
You know, that's the thing.
That's right.
Like, we're going to have lots to talk about.
Tape games. How about this? You PVR Overdrive. Make sure you can PVR Overdrive, or you can subscribe and check us out on iTunes, Spotify, TSN1050.ca. When the kids need a break, fire up old Uncle Hayes and Uncle Noodles and Uncle O-Dog. That's the play.